Lockjaw, the podcast junkie here, and you are listening to Into Your Head, all the way from Ireland.
Into your head, meowie, meowie, ee, ee, into your head.
Join me at a tremendously exciting moment. I'm sitting here at my computer, looking at a thing on the screen, and it's flashing, and it says recording. Now, I say a thing, it's actually a word. But of course, in actual fact, it's not really a word. It's a series of pieces of light that are being switched on and off on the screen. The computer doesn't know it's a word at all. My eyes don't even know it's a word. It might as well not be a word at all. As far as my eyes know, it's just a piece of flashing light that activates and deactivates and then activates. Well, I suppose that's the same as flashing. If it's a flashing light, then it's not activating and reactivating as well, because if it activated during the off part of the flash, then there would be no light at all and would effectively be not flashing. It would be like having a flashing black light. Effectively it would be no light at all. Maybe it would be effectively a light, but effectively the light would be switched off. So that would make no sense whatsoever in any way, shape or form. And that's you can't have things making no sense coming from a computer. A computer is infallible, so it goes to say, it goes to prove that you can't have a flashing thing saying recording on a screen. So what I'm seeing at the moment doesn't exist. Well, it doesn't exist anyway for 50% of the time, because it's flashing on and off. So 50% of the time we don't need to worry about, because it's not there at all. But it's the other 50% of the time that I'm concerned about, because I seem to have just proved by logic that it doesn't exist during that time. So maybe if I multiply the non-flashing segment by 2 and then say that it's just not flashing at all, then that'll work. It'll work in my head anyway. That's all that matters. How things come into your head and how your mind perceives them, because that's all the world is. It's the world is what you perceive. I could perceive that you're a cat and you're licking me at the moment, and it could be true if I can trick my brain into thinking it is the case. Maybe I'm not tricking my brain at all. Maybe it is the case and I'm tricking my brain into not thinking that it's not the case. I don't know. I don't want to think too much about that, because it might ruin the whole experience, quite frankly. I don't want to do that. I like imagination. I like having dreams, and I don't like waking up and finding out that it was just a dream. So as far as I'm concerned, if I have a dream and I tell you about it, you're to nod your head politely and say, "Oh, that's great. I'm glad that happened to you last night when you got up in the middle of the night. It wasn't a dream at all. It's part of your life. It's the exciting part of your life that you have while everyone else is asleep, and I'm delighted for you, Neil." That's how I want you to react if I ever tell you about a dream that I enjoyed, and make damn sure that you don't do it, say it sarcastically, because I'll know, and then that'll spoil my whole life. So have a little bit of consideration for other people's fantasies. Thinking, this guy is a complete nutcase. That's what he is. He's mentally ill in some way. His brain is deficient. He might as well be in one of those Robin Williams movies from the 70s where he's in some sort of mental asylum, and he's basically going around. It's either Robin Williams or Jack Nicholson is always in those things. Never both at the same time, but there's always either Robin Williams or Jack Nicholson, and one of them is either playing a madman in a madhouse, or they're playing a doctor in a madhouse who's trying to cure a madman or bring a madman back to life. Not he's dead, he's mentally inoperable. He's not functioning properly. It's like when you have your iTelephone and you put it to sleep. It's not going to function. So that's basically what the Mad Men and those movies were like. One of them, Robin Williams, comes along and gets this guy who's basically been in a coma for 10 centuries, and he brings him back to life, but then there's a tragic ending. He puts him back to death again, although he's not dead at all, he's just back in his comatose state. But I suppose the moral of the story is, use what little time that you have awake to do stuff. So if you're only awake for half an hour every morning, you damn well better go out and get a job during that half hour that pays 8 times the normal hourly rate, and even then you're only going to have half a week's salary. Although I suppose if you're sleeping for 23 and a half hours a day, your cost of living isn't going to be very high, as long as you have a bed, I suppose. You might need an expensive bed, comfortable one, so you don't get bed sores. Or I suppose you could have two reasonably normal beds and sleep in shifts, spend half of the 24-hour period in one of the beds and half the 24-hour period in another. Then you won't be spending any more time in the bed than the bed is designed to have spent in it. So I suppose it's a question of economics. You can either get two normal beds, or if you can find a better bed that's costs less than the price of two normal beds and it does the job, then I suppose that's reasonable. It's all about being able to shop. People should be taught how to shop in schools. Someone should come along and say, here's an example of a shop. We'll set up this shop here now and we'll sell chocolate and sweets and chips and fried stuff, and we'll teach you how to make purchasing decisions. And today's class is sponsored by Coca-Cola, Mars Bars, ice cream. But that doesn't necessarily mean you have to buy those products. You should be aware of what advertising is doing to you, because you're a child, and you listen to me now. I'm your teacher, so here's some information that I'm going to give to you. You know, you're not 13 yet. You're only in primary school, so you're not allowed to question what I say. Jesus and Santa Claus are coming on the 25th, and one of them is going to bring sweets and the other one is going to live until Easter and then die, and it's all your fault. You have to do penance for that because of greed. But on the plus side, you can get loads of presents off Santa Claus to celebrate the other guy's birth, and you get chocolate off the Easter Bunny to celebrate his death, although I suppose technically it's more to celebrate his coming back to life after his death. But of course, that's who are we to celebrate that? We didn't bring him back to life, we just executed him by nailing him to a cross. Apparently if you drive nails through someone's hands and feet, they die within a couple of hours. No matter how many times you douse a sponge in water and touch it to their lips. Now I'm going to have to cough. And we're back. I had a cough there. Now, normally, if this was a commercial television or radio environment, I would have either have a cough button, or you would have heard a commercial break during that gap. As it stands, I don't even know whether you heard a gap yet. I haven't made that editing decision yet. Maybe I'll put in a gap and pretend I have a cough button and that I paused for a couple of seconds. In actual fact, I just pressed stop and then I coughed and then I started this again. I suppose I could reenact that. Reenact the process of me pressing stop. Here we go, hold on a minute. Where's the stop button? And I'll press. Oh no, I can't press the stop button because that'll stop this recording. I suppose I could press a different button. Hold on, I'll find something to press. I can't press pause. I could press help, I suppose, and we'll pretend that it's the stop button. So this is the reenactment of what I did that resulted in the space between segments, or not. Whatever the editing decision turns out to be. So here we go. Stop. Now the help thing doesn't seem to be coming up, so maybe I've done this so well that I've convinced myself that it's not a help button at all, so no help is coming up, and in fact I've pressed stop effectively. So I hope that's not the case, because if that's the case you won't hear this. I don't think it is the case, because the recording thing is still flashing in front of me. So I seem to have neither stopped the recording nor caused the help thing to come up. Maybe that means the help thing doesn't work when you're recording. You have to press stop first. Which, frankly, if that's the case, that's hurting my brain even thinking about it. I might have to pause again just to allow my brain to recover. I'll wait. I'll try and hold out until I need another cough. And then, while I'm coughing, my brain can think about nothing. I think that's what happens when you're coughing anyway. You don't think about anything, and your brain gets to relax. Basically, a cough is like a yawn from the brain, except it's the brain crying out for a rest. It needs a couple of seconds for a rest, so it tells your mouth to cough, so that the brain can take a break for a moment, because coughing is pretty much done on autopilot. Now, I know what you're thinking there. You're thinking an autopilot in a plane wouldn't cough, unless it's the one in the aeroplane movie starring Leslie Nielsen. And that one, in fact, didn't cough, but I suppose in theory, if it had coughed, that would have fitted in with the style of that movie, the nonsense humour involved. Now, that said, I need a cough, so I'm going to pause this now. Now, that's done. I've done the cough. I have to say, my brain doesn't feel any different. I don't know whether it rested or not. Maybe my brain is so sophisticated that it knows when it's going to need a rest, and it stops me just in time, so it doesn't start to feel tired at all. I suppose that's possible. I mean, most of us manage to keep our petrol tanks full of petrol and never run out in between stations. So I suppose if we can do that with our petrol tanks, we can do the same with our brains, and they never run out. That's why we don't fall asleep at a bus stop in the middle of the road. Not least because bus stops aren't in the middle of the road. The bus stop is generally on the curb, and the space for the bus to stop is usually at the side of the road, unless it's a particularly narrow road, in which case effectively the whole half of the road is the bus stop, from the bus's point of view anyway, not from the passenger's point of view, because the passenger just uses the curb. That all depends on several factors, not limited to, but including, the county council's planning regulations, the government's policy on bus stops. Not that the government has a particular policy that's labelled bus stop. It's probably called the transport policy for the next 10 years. They wouldn't have a policy that's just called the bus stops policy, because that's just asking for some tabloid newspaper to come along and mock you and say, look, the government has a bus stop policy. I wonder, does the bus manage to put on its brakes? Or does it crash into a wall? And here's a cartoon showing the Prime Minister of the country in question, showing him with a bus for a head and with wheels coming out of his arse. And it's a caricature. That's why we can get away with it. Caricatures are fine. They're like satire. So we're satirising our great leader and showing him as a bus because of his great bus stop policy. Well, in actual fact, half of us journalists get a bus to work in the morning, and we know damn well that a bus stop is a very important part of all this, because if the bus doesn't stop, then there's lots of people who aren't going to be able to get on or off, unless they, well, it'll add to the insurance cost for a start. If people have to get on and off while the bus is moving, an insurer isn't going to insure that bus company for nothing. It's going to add on surcharges, all sorts of non-stopping at bus stop surcharges, and that'll drive the cost of bus fare is up by at least 50%. So that's why bus stop policies are important. This is filler. 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 Same stuff slowly fills up more time. This is filler. More time. This is filler. More time. This is filler. This is filler. Now, I want to move on from this bus stop issue, because frankly, it's causing me not a small amount of stress. I'm thinking about all these buses not stopping and me trying to figure out how to get on and off them, and trying to calculate where the bus is going to land me. Commuting is stressful enough without having to think about that sort of thing. It's bad enough to have to walk around the bus and get to my seat while the bus is moving, and I have to go against the forces of forward movement. The forces of backward movement if the bus is reversing and I'm going to a seat at the back of the bus, then I have to walk twice as fast to get to the seat, unless I wait until there's a traffic light, but then I can't move while there's a traffic light, so I can't I suppose I could go backwards towards the back of the bus, but I can't walk forwards towards the front of the bus, down the aisle, while we're at a traffic light, because that's technically in breach of the regulations. Even if that wasn't the intended effect of the law, it's still the law, and if I was up in court, a judge would have to convict me of breaking that law, regardless of whether he thought it was sensible or not. His hands would be tied, metaphorically. No, not literally, his hands wouldn't be tied. That particular uniform went away several years ago. Judges still wear wigs in some countries, but they don't. As far as I know, most countries, the judges' hands aren't literally tied anymore. It's considered just a metaphor, and the metaphor is considered enough. The judge's hands are tied. Everybody knows that. So he doesn't need to literally demonstrate it. First off, not least, because if his hands were tied, he wouldn't be able to look up these laws in the book during his recesses while he's eating his smoky bacon ham sandwich and drinking his goat milk, or whatever it is that judges drink at lunch. I suppose they drink whatever it is to their own, whatever their tastes are. I don't want to presume that all judges eat the same thing during the lunch break, although maybe they do. Maybe they're supplied with a particular sandwich in the interest of neutrality, so they don't go out to someone's shop and hear people talking about the case while they're ordering their sandwich. I need to cough again. That's that coughing attended to. If you want to hear these outtakes of me coughing, just let me know. Let me know in the online voicemail system, or email me at studio@hintyourhead.com. You can't use the Stalkers Forum guestbook at the moment because it no longer exists. It's been removed, and I'm implementing a new system as soon as I can figure out how to set up the damn thing. I'm going to have a text comment system under each show, and you can come along and say, this is my comment on show number 72, except you won't have to say that because it'll be obvious, because you'll have pressed the post a comment button under show number 72, but that's if I ever get the freaking thing working. If I don't, we'll have to come up with something else. We're going to have to get you to write in by mail to me and have a separate PO box number for each show. So you'll say, if you want to comment on show number 73, you'll write to PO box 271-73, a certain address. Now don't do that right now, because that's a fake address. I haven't purchased that PO number yet, and that's just an emergency plan for if I don't manage to get the comment system set up. I'm just saying. Hopefully you're not listening to this segment out of context and you haven't just pressed play 30 seconds before this and you've just heard me giving out that address, because if you send something to that address, I'll probably be billed for it by the post office. Which wouldn't be good, because then I'd have to pay it, and that's just, as far as I'm concerned, nothing good can come of having to pay for something that you don't want.
email us at studio@intoyourhead.com. Stalker's forum guest book
no longer exists.
intoyourhead.com.
Online voicemail system.
intoyourhead.com.
Sit, Kofi, sit. Good time.
intoyourhead.com.